Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Japan is relaxing restrictions on U.S. beef imports. The U.S. Court of Appeals has ruled on the cellulosic biofuels mandate, and Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat from Iowa, says he will not seek re-election in 2013. We'll have complete details a bit later on in the program, and then I'll tell you all about the winter meeting season and some events that you'll want to attend over the next month or so. Hey, don't forget that in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat was 2¾ cents higher on its settlement at $7.79 1/4. July at $7.92 1/2, up 4 on the afternoon. The hard red in Kansas City settled 7½ cents higher for the July at $8.48. Back in Chicago from the corn pit for the day, nearby March at $7.29 1/4, a settlement price up 8½ cents. The May at $7.29 1/4, up 7¾, and July corn at $7.20 1/2, up 7¾. September futures $6.13 1/2 in the corn pit, up 6¼. And December futures at $5.90 settled 5¾ of a cent higher. March corn of next year at $6 even, up 5¾. Soybeans now, March contract $14.47 3/4, up 6¾. The May up 7½ at $14.33 1/2, and July beans 5 cents higher at $14.22 3/4. August at $13.95 3/4, up 4¾. September at $13.47 1/4, up 4¾. And November beans at $13.10, up 7. Bean meal finished $3.90 higher. Bean oil down 21. Live cattle futures, the April at $133.40, up 2.65. The June at $128.87 1/2, up $2.35 per 100 pounds. March feeders at $149.90, up $1.95. And the April at $153.30, up $2.15. April lean hogs, $89.05. A settlement price up 12½. The May futures were down a dime at $96.25. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $96.49 a barrel, up 61 cents. The Arbobber wholesale price of gasoline at $2.93 5/10 of a cent. That's 5½ cents higher. Ethanol trading at $2.40 2/10, up 2 6/10 of a cent. And the spread between the two is now 52 8/10 of a cent. That's 2 9/10 of a cent wider than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.28 9/10 of a cent. Down 15½ cents, in heating oil for the day, just about 5/10 of a cent higher at $3.06 2/10 of a cent. Gold futures at $1,652.90 an ounce, down $3.70, and the U.S. dollar at 79.78 is up 0.03 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. This comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, calling for a 40% chance of showers. Should be cloudy out this afternoon with a high near 56 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. And then this evening, that 50% chance of showers gets increased. It includes thunderstorms. Cloudy, a low 52 with a south-southwest wind at 11 to 18, gusting to 24 tomorrow. Showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Then showers and thunderstorms through the noon hour. Highs in near 65 degrees tomorrow. Breezy with a south-southwest wind at 8 to 21. Chance of precipitation tomorrow at 90%. Tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms before midnight. A possibility of a thunderstorm after midnight as well. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall. A low of 39 degrees, a southwest wind tomorrow evening at 11 to 18. That'll turn to the northwest after midnight, and winds could gust as high as 24. 100% chance of rain in the area tomorrow evening. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we come up to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of January, 2013. I'm ULVI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the marketplace just a bit. In Chicago, things were mostly higher. Corn, soybeans, and wheat were all up for the day.
Yeah, a little bit more optimism. We saw a downdraft last week. We were able to hold some minor retracement levels and see some renewed buying interest, a little confirmation of some Asian business in the beans. Export inspections, a little bit better. We're shipping out what we sold. Shipped out 22 million bushels of wheat, with the high end of expectations. Shipped out 21 million bushels of corn. That was above the range expectations. And we shipped out about 40 million bushels of beans. That's kind of at the upper end there. So countries are taking what they bought. And also, too, we saw a little bit of a technical buying interest come into the corn market once we pushed above the downtrend lines. We did not move above last week's highs, the previous highs by all means, but sort of broke that downtrend line, generated a little bit of technical buying here throughout the day, Todd.
One of the things Steve Fried reminded us during Commodity Week and then at our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, which, by the way, went really well on Friday evening, was that the corn market in Chicago likes exports, and there's nothing like exports to get the corn market a little bit excited there.
Yeah, when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, the corn, you know, in proportion to the beans is a smaller percentage, but overall, it's sort of the cream of the crop. It helps keep that buying enthusiasm high when we see corn exports. But we're projected to, you know, be down quite a bit from a year ago, where sales are running 50-55% of a year ago. So, you know, we're in a position here where if we see some renewed export business, that it's going to be fairly positive to the marketplace, because right now most of the domestic demand is being used, of course, for feed and ethanol, of course. So when you come in here and add, you know, an extra 100 million bushels or 200 million bushels, you know, carryouts already at pipeline supplies, that's going to generate significant support on breaks in here, Todd.
Yeah, so we're looking fundamentally at, from USDA's point of view, carry out for the last crop of about 602 million bushels for corn. That's pipeline, as you suggested. And when we're down below a billion for exports, I think, 950 million, if I remember correctly. That's a decades low, several decades at a low. Producers could keep themselves fairly positive in the marketplace, but that's for old crop. What do you see for new crop?
The tale of two different crops. It's definitely night and day difference. We'll see what type of demand we see coming at us here as we move into this spring. But the thing on the new crop, from a mathematical point of view, if you put in acres unchanged, a little higher, put close to a trend line yield on it, and carry in that 600 million bushel carry out from last year, keep demand, well, you can raise demand a little bit. It suggests we're going to have significant supplies as long as that yield is at that higher end of expectation, which says that rallies in new crop corn are going to be limited here as we go into the growing season, unless we start to see some type of weather development take place in here to generate some buying interest in that back a month. At the present time, looking at sort of where we are with all the fundamentals and the technicals, I think producers are going to be willing sellers, or should be willing sellers, if we can move the market above the $6 benchmark.
So we're just a dime away, and you're talking about $6 December corn?
Well, correct. It'd be nice to have a cash bid above that area.
Oh, so now you're talking about something entirely different.
Yeah, but that's going to probably be a tough ox to come by. But right now, producers are wait and hold. This month's about gone, and we're going to be in February, and everybody likes to watch the price during February, especially on the insurance side of the equation.
Right. So I did have, and I forget who told me during Commodity Week. I think it was Fried. that the expectation, maybe I shouldn't say that. I just don't remember who told me this, but the expectation for the crop insurance price setting month could be as high as $6.20. What do you think?
Well, that'd be a heck of a rally. We're sitting here at 590 to average six. Yeah. Might want to go long the market here and try to capture a little bit of that. That'd be great if we could, because a lot of these marketing plans and mindset in marketing is to, you know, get into the insurance program, and that would be a healthy, healthy bottom line if we are able to lock that in. Because when you do the math on your cost of production, not everybody's the same. These are still very profitable levels up here.
Right, and if we were to have that, that would mean that 100 million corn acres would be in sight if we were that high, or is it still the 96, 97 in your mind?
I think we're in between there. I feel at these price levels, there's not going to be any ground not planted unless we run into a very wet situation somewhere in the U.S. I believe every tillable acre is going to be put into some type of crop. I feel the corn acres could be closer to this 98, 99 million acre level.
That is a lot of corn acres. Will bean acres be down where they were last year?
I think they're going to be higher. I think we're going to have a huge amount of double crop acres to add a little bit to that. I think acres in total are going to be higher at the expense of cotton, at the expense of hay, some of these other crops in general. I believe producers are going to be aggressive putting some type of corn or beans into the ground this spring, barring no weather disruption somewhere.
Cattle on feed numbers from Friday were touted as bullish, and that's the way they showed up in the market today.
Yeah, we saw some enthusiasm from those numbers. It continues to confirm we have tight supplies. Also, to add a little fuel on the fire, you know, Japan's expanding the meat cattle is going to be imported into their country, so that added some buying enthusiasm. That's probably the most bullish thing right there, is because when you look at the tight production, numbers we have, and the per capita consumption that's been just dropping like a rock over the few years in the U.S., that export market is sort of the gravy here, and that's what's sort of fueling the buying interest and should fuel the cattle market another $4 to $6 higher here over time.
Yeah, what was good for the cattle market, on the other hand, is suggesting that there won't be that many and fewer calves to feed than maybe some had hoped for, or at least compared to last year.
Yeah, and you can get into debate on total tonnage, you know, feeding maybe to higher weights and so forth. But for the most part, overall numbers are going to remain tight. And for us in agriculture, we know better because we know the expansion cycle of the cattle versus the hogs, the chicken, or even the rabbits.
All right. Or even the rabbits. Thank you so much. I appreciate
Take it. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, a couple of notes. Our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event Friday night was a great success. Thank you to all those folks who came in to support the Agricultural Communications Program, the Hospitality Management Program at the Spice Box on Friday night. We had a great time. Capacity in that room is right at 100, and we had about 91 in the room, so we really did a nice job, raised some funds for them, had a good time. Orion was great. Steve Freed and company, Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson, Paul Cooley, all had a lot of fun, and thanks so much to everybody for being there on Friday evening for Voices of Illinois Agriculture. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, Japan is relaxing restrictions on U.S. beef imports that had been in place due to fears of mad cow disease. Japan's foreign ministry announced today that Japan and the U.S. have agreed that imports of beef from cows up to 30 months old will be allowed, up from the current 20-month age limit effective February 1st. The change matches international standards and applies to beef imports from the U.S., Canada, France, and the Netherlands. Japan banned U.S. beef imports in 2003. In 2005, Japan allowed imports of beef 20 months or younger. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit on Friday rejected the Environmental Protection Agency's 2012 mandate for refiners, blenders, and importers to use cellulosic biofuel. The mandate was for 8.65 million gallons of cellulosic biofuel, of which none was commercially available. The court agreed with the American Petroleum Institute that EPA's projection of cellulosic biofuel production was in excess of the agency's statutory authority. The Coast Guard says a normally busy stretch of the Mississippi River remains closed to barge and ship traffic as cleanup crews with booms work to remove an oily sheen near Vicksburg after a barge with 80,000 gallons of oil hit a railroad bridge over the weekend. At least 11 northbound vessels and 10 southbound vessels were waiting to pass today. The Coast Guard remains unsure of when that stretch of the Mississippi will reopen. The oily sheen was reported up to 3 miles downriver from the bridge at Vicksburg on Sunday. A quarterly survey by the National Association for Business Economists released today shows half of the economists polled now expect real gross domestic product, the value of all goods and services produced in the U.S., to grow between 2 and 4% in 2013. That's up from 36% of respondents who felt the same way 3 months ago. Caterpillar says fourth quarter net income fell by half because of slower growth in China and economic issues in the U.S. and Europe. Caterpillar earned $697 million, or $1.04 a share. That was down from a profit of $1.55 billion, or $2.32 per share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. One other news item over the weekend, Iowa Senator Democrat Tom Harkin announced he will not seek re-election in 2014. The Des Moines Register reports that during his nearly 40 years in Washington, that Harkin was a key player shaping traditional farm policy and fostering the agriculture sector's future in renewable energy. Since becoming a member of Congress, Harkin is a veteran of 8 farm bills, including the 2002 and 2008, that were passed while he was leading the Agriculture Committee. Harkin is also credited with aggressively pushing to expand federal investments in conservation programs throughout the United States. Again, Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat of Iowa, will not seek re-election in 2014. Hey, have you purchased your tickets yet for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook set for the 5th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana? 217-333-7300 is the number to call. We have a great day set up for you. All of our regular analysts will be on hand and some special guests, including John Bondurant, Nick Anderson, Peter Goldsmith, and Murray Wise. The All-Day Agricultural Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, scheduled for the 5th day of March. Get your tickets now, $25 each at 217-333-7300. Up next, more on our winter meeting season, which, of course, is in full swing. There are plenty of things for farmers to do. On Saturday, the 2nd day of February, you might want to head towards Joliet, Illinois, for the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair. The annual event attracts investors and farmers alike from across the nation. The U of I's Dwight Rabb will highlight one of 17 seminars. he'll go through production cost is pulled from the state's FBFM records. You can find out more about the Farmland Investment Fair to be held at the Joliet Junior College online at www.chicagofarmers.org. That's O-R-G. The Illinois Pork Expo will return to the Peoria Convention Center February the 5th and 6th. The event spans 2 days and will wrap up with a special program targeted to grain farmers and their livestock raising colleagues. I'll host a Commodities Outlook panel, including Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa, and Rabobank's Global Red Meat Specialist, David Nelson. It costs just $10 to enter the Illinois Pork Expo. Learn more at www.ilpork.com. Well, there are two big day-long farmer events in the month of March. The Illinois Soybean Association Soybean Profitability Summit is scheduled for the Bone Student Center on the Illinois State University campus in Normal the 4th day of March. UVI professors Fred Belo, Nick Paulson, and Gary Schnitke will all make presentations during the program. Sign up today on the Illinois Soybean Association's homepage at ilsoy.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, it's the first day of the work week, a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to check in on the cash grain market is Michael Yeomans from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Producers finding anything of interest in a $5.90 futures price for December corn?
Not really. I think that magic number is a $6 cash. It seems that's the feel around here at least.
And how far under $5.90 are you for...
We are paying 20 under for fall delivery, so that puts us at a 570 cash.
Yeah, so we need to have 620 in order to pull off a $6 cash. That might be down the road.
That's correct. You know, I think we have the feeling that it's going to be tough to see $6 on the board without some type of weather issue. And I think that's just given off the pattern from last year's trade. We broke below 6 and we didn't see it again until we got into the drought.
My guess is they just say, well, we'll just wait and see what crop insurance is like, right?
That's right. You're going to wait till Feb and see what that average comes in like.
Tell me about basis levels and who's needing corn and where it's being used.
Basis, you know, as far as corn, it remains pretty firm still today. We'll probably see stronger values as we get into spring. Bean-wise, it seems rivers about the strongest. Export numbers have been strong, so... bean basis continues to be firm.
Rainfall over the next couple of days, 24 hours, in fact, to 36, should be pretty good for the river system, I would think.
Correct. I think around here in Champaign, when they're talking, you know, half inch to an inch. So.
And then as you look forward to the month of February, what's your expectations over that time frame?
As far as the futures market goes, I think we'll continue to be range-bound between this 570-590 range. I think it's going to be tough to break too much to either side until we really start talking about planted acres and get into spring when we know more about planting.
And what are your bids for the day?
Today we are at, 754 for old crop corn, 570 for new crop corn. Beans are at 1467. And $12.85 on new crop.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Michael Yeomans is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Blueberry Pancake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, William S. Burroughs was born, an American inventor. Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. Also in 1885, the first locomotive ran from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific on the Panama Railway. In 1945, Swedish ships brought food to starving Netherlands. In 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan lifted remaining domestic petroleum price and allocation controls in the U.S., helping to end the 1979 energy crisis and begin the 1980s oil glut. And in 1985, 45 of the world's top recording artists were invited to an all-night recording session at the A&M Studios in Los Angeles. As each of the artists walked through the studio door, they were greeted by a hand-lettered sign put there by Lionel Richie. It simply said, "Check your ego" at the door. The session started at 10 p.m., with producer Quincy Jones conducting. At 8 o'clock the following morning, the project U.S. for Africa was recorded and mixed. The resulting song, We Are the World, featuring Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Sting, Harry Belafonte, Diane Ross, Paul Simon, and many others, became the top song in the U.S. on April 13th of that very same year. The All-Star Charity event was created to raise money for U.S. for Africa, a nonprofit organization benefiting starving residents of Ethiopia. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, well, it appears that finally we're going to get more than just a little bit of rain, but quite a little bit of rain. How widespread will it be?
Quite widespread here, at least across the Midwest and on into the Delta. We had the precipitation here. That came through yesterday, wintry mix here, but more is on the way overnight tonight and into tomorrow, lingering on into Wednesday. And that precip will be all in liquid form here, with the exception on Wednesday, where the strong cold front, and behind the strong cold front, there will be some snow. But with precip totals here, expectations with this rain event, that's the most significant precip event we've seen in quite some time. And precip totals here are shaping up to be across Illinois generally 1 to 2 inches, and even that will extend into portions of adjacent areas, Missouri, even on into portions of Indiana and Ohio. So that will, with the warmer temperatures that will accompany it here over the next couple of days, including some possible severe storms coming up later tomorrow and on into Wednesday, it's actually going to feel more like spring versus winter.
It sounds like Missouri might be starting to catch up, maybe parts of northern Illinois a little bit. How far down are we? Actually, it doesn't matter how far down are we. How far does this storm really go to catching up precipitation, at least for the winter months?
Yeah, it still does relatively little here to make up the long-term precip deficits, and there's still some portions of Illinois, more so out west and then into the western Corn Belt plains, that are running deficits, 12-month deficits of 10, 12, even 15 inches of precip. So an inch or two isn't going to really do much, but still a little can go a long way here midwinter. Now, beyond this system here, it does not look like there will be successive systems coming through, but rather we do see much colder weather working in behind it, and no, at least follow-up big precip events through the middle part of next week.
Any notes on South America we should hear about for the day?
Yeah, focus of attention is on Argentina, where major heat wave is going on here. Started today, will continue through Friday. And as a result, that does pose risk here of irreversible yield damage to corn, which is going through the pollination stage here, albeit that decline in yield potential is likely from really good levels. Now, there is going to be a break in the heat, some rain activity coming up late this week. Doesn't look like an all-encompassing system, but about half of the Argentina grain and oilseed belt will receive significant rain.
Thanks much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy, and that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Want to avoid the long registration lines at our 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting? Call 217-333-7300 and order your tickets now for the March 5th event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. They're $25, along with a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. You'll hear special presentations on farmland values for 2013, diversifying your operations with livestock, the changing nature of the southern U.S. farm, and of course, our money-making soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Call 217-333-7300 with your major credit card, and we'll mail your tickets right out to you. The day of the event, walk in through our VIP entrance.